Thank you, Jesus. You are the all-knowing God, all-seeing God, everywhere present God, all-powerful, beginning and the end. There is no God like you. You see all things. You know all things. You have never made a promise that you will not keep. You do not have a fear of man. And because you have that fear, you tell men something just to get them to shut up. No, everything you do purposefully. You say what you mean, knowing that you will do what you say. And indeed, as we look at your word, we come to an understanding that before you even say something, you've already done it. And that your saying is just a manifestation of that which you have already done. Lord, oh God, today help us, oh God, to understand the keys of the kingdom, the principles of the realm of the Spirit. And Lord, oh God, that we too, as your sons and daughters created in your image and likeness, will see, oh God, that the speaking of the word is the manifestation of that which is already done. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to understand the fullness of truth, that truth that is in you, our sovereign Lord forever, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. You are Yahweh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our lives tonight. We open ourselves to receive of your Spirit. Speak your prophetic word, O God, to us, and forever change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you again tonight as we continue our time with God in this realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, we are celebrating a very key celebration, a feast of the Lord called the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's called the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Harvest. It has all kinds of names because it is the feast that addresses the fact that God is tabernacling with his people. It is the feast that tells us that we have an Emmanuel, God, with us. And as we've been exploring this particular subject about the Feast of Tabernacles, we established the fact that the Feast of Tabernacles became a reality only because God made a covenant. God made a covenant, he made a statement to Abraham, told him exactly what was going to happen and when it was going to happen. And now the people of God are in the process of seeing the fulfillment of that which God promised. And in a sense, we too are in a process, going through a process of seeing the fulfillment of that which our Father has promised, the commitments that he has made. Now, in the progression of the fulfillment of these promises, we are discussing a pillar within this mosaic of information that we have. We're discussing the life of a man called Joseph. And the very fact that Joseph was a key in bringing the people of God to the beginnings of them being in the land that God said they were going to be at. He said they were going to be in a foreign land, in a place that was not theirs. And they were going to be there for 400 years or four generations. Now, Joseph was the one who went there first. He went there first, having been betrayed. But the beginnings of his problem started when he had some dreams. The dreams had to do with sheaves. Sheaves that were standing and his was not. And then he stood and the others that were standing bowed down to his. It gives us a hint. If it's talking about sheaves, which has to do with harvest, this story is going to be connected to some kind of a harvest down the line. Then he dreamt a dream, another one. And this time he sees the stars and the moon and the sun bowing down to his star. And it links us again. Wow. To what God said, tell the stars. So, here is Joseph dreaming dreams that were triggered by the fact that his father put a coat on him. And when the father put that coat on him, his spiritual eyes opened to his true destiny. And when he shared that destiny in terms of a dream with his brothers, he started experiencing attacks. And how true that is, that many times when we share what is in our hearts about what God is planning for us, that people come and want to kill it. They want to kill the vision. They want to kill your dreams. They want to kill your aspirations. They want to kill those goals and desires that you have for your life. But I got good news. Doesn't matter how hard they try, the God who made the promise will make certain that it comes to pass. Amen? Even if he has to raise up stones, it will come to pass. If he has to dispatch angels, it will come to pass. Have that settled in your spirit tonight. What God has promised, God will do. As I was praying just a moment ago, I said something. Maybe you got it, maybe you didn't get it. I said when God speaks a thing, it's because it's already done. And he's speaking it is to bring that which is already done in the secret place to the open. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Please don't forget that. That when God speaks, it's because it's already done. It's finished. It's completed. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. So when the prophetic word came into your life, it's because God has already finished it. So the word of God says he answers us, he answers our prayers even before we pray it. Before you even prayed, before you knew that you had a need, God has already answered. So you talking to God about it is just a formality. He says you don't receive because you didn't ask. And you ask by words. You ask, if you're asking, if you're asking for something, it's because you know that the person you're asking it from has what you need. Can you please give me your pen? I asked for a pen. She gave me a pen. Thank you. Can you give me some salt? No. Why not? She doesn't have it. Me asking her for salt inside the church, that is silly. A pen, that makes sense. Salt. If it's in the kitchen, okay, we're fine. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, anytime you're asking God for something, it's because you know that God has it to give to you. Now, question is, do you believe he's going to give it to you? That's the question. Because sometimes we ask for things and we don't believe that we're going to get it because we don't think we qualify to get it. If I were fighting with her and we don't talk and I come asking her for a pen, I will come asking very sheepishly, just maybe she might not. And I might not even wait. Watch this. I might not even wait for her to give it to me because I don't expect her to give it to me. I know she has it. But she's not going to give it to me. Why would she give it to me when she's angry with me? So I say, may I have your pen? And that's what we do. We pray. We pray and we don't wait to hear from God. The mindset of praying without waiting to hear from God is a mindset of a person who doesn't know that God will answer. How many times have we prayed and we didn't wait to hear from God? In Jesus' name, amen. Were you just talking to him? Yes, I was. Did you wait to hear what he has to say? No. Am I supposed to? Yes. You asked for something. Are you willing to receive it? Are we on the same page? So Joseph goes through his experience, and we talked about that. And now, after 2 years, having interpreted the dream of Pharaoh's butler, who forgot him. Pharaoh dreams a dream and dreamt another dream. And nobody was there to answer or give him the interpretation. And butler sees the Pharaoh disturbed. He says, oh my. I'm so sorry. I made a promise to somebody that I was going to help them out, and I forgot. And this person can solve this problem. Because when Pharaoh, you were angry with us, myself and the baker, there was a young Hebrew young man in prison. He asked us for the dream that we had. We told him, and he gave us the interpretation. And what he said was right on. He said of me, the butler, he put me back in my position. He restored me. But the baker, he hung him. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 13 of Genesis 41. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office. Yesterday we talked about the power that is in the words that came out of Joseph's mouth. Because Joseph is cooperating with God and in the earth realm, putting things in their proper order. He restored the butler. He hung the baker. Now, this is going to continue. This principle is going to continue. In verse 14, the Bible says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily. I like that word. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. I declare by the authority of the word of God that wherever you have been locked in, wherever you have been limited at, that this day by the authority of the word of the living God, that the living God will dispatch forces that will get you out of that dungeon of limitation right this very moment, and that you will come out of that place hastily. In the mighty name of Jesus, I call it so done. By the word of faith, where have you been locked? Where have you been limited? It is time to get out. Pastor, you don't know. I've been in this state for a long time. God says it's time to get out. Hastily. This is key because this is the same experience that the children of Israel were going to experience. They were going to leave Egypt hastily, quickly. But hastily does not mean that you don't get yourself together. God said they are going to come out with great substance. And guess what? In their haste and all of that, they had enough time in the hastily to get what they need to get together. I know Joseph knew that he was not going to stay there forever. And somewhere in that dungeon, he had an outfit. His coming out outfit. I'm sure every day for those 2 years while he waited to come out, he looked at his folded clothes, looked at it. Is it today that I'm going to get out of this place? The day came, the night came, and he was still there. And his outfit was still there. Year one, nothing. Year and a half, nothing. Year three quarters, nothing. Year and 11 months, nothing. But year two was coming. And when he heard that Pharaoh wanted him, he knew where his outfit was. Because he had it there all this while. I'm sure he'd ironed it so many times. Because he said, tell Pharaoh you see, everything he's been doing has been helping everybody else. But what he was doing for himself was not working for him. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? His ironed up clothes weren't getting him out. But that didn't mean he shouldn't be ready. And on this fateful day, as they came to get him hastily out of the dungeon, the Bible says he shaved himself. You see, you've got to get yourself ready for where you're going. Huh? There's so many people that don't get themselves ready for where they are going. You know, mothers will say to their children, male or female, make sure you have clean underwear. There's a reason for it. Because you don't know what's going to happen. If you have filthy underwear, somebody's going to see it. So have clean underwear. So it is about life. Make sure that you are ready for whatever it is that's going to happen. There's no way you can be prepared for everything. But be prepared enough. Study to be a workman approved of God. Well, when I get to this stage, then I will learn that. No. Learn whatever it is you can learn now. Get yourself ready right now. He shaved himself. He cleaned himself up. Even God, when the children of Israel were about to cross over into the promised land, said to them, clean up. And everybody that needed to be circumcised were circumcised so that they can get into where they want to go to. And I believe God is saying the same thing to us today. He's saying to us, every one of us, get ready for the next level. Get ready for the next level. Get ready for where you want to go. For what I have on my mind for you. Every day, when I stand before you and I bring the word of God to you, there's one thing ringing behind my mind. I got to get these people, everyone ready. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And when it hits the fan, I want everybody ready to do what it is they need to do. Many years ago, a dear sister, gone home to be with the Lord now, Sister Esme, she was right there in the foyer in her wheelchair. I was upstairs in my office. And while I was in the office, God opened my eyes and I saw these strange demonic forces. We were like warriors. And I started to fight with them. And when I finished defeating them, I heard this big bang on my office door. Bang, 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 bang. I said, who on earth is banging on my door like that? So I said, who is that? I come out and said, Sister Esme fell down the stairs. I said, what are you talking about, Sister Esme fell down the stairs? How can she fall down the stairs? She's in a wheelchair. I dash down. I come. Eventually, she was sitting down there. Paul was there, and everybody was just chatting. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, those lying devils had come in. But thank God they were already defeated upstairs. She powers that thing, and she goes, and on the marble floor, she tumbles, and Rapal dashes for her and grabs the wheelchair, but she wasn't belted in, and she flies off and hit her head on the floor. And I come, and I see Sister Sherry and some of the other sisters. They were there holding her, and they were praying, and I listened to how they were praying. I said, this is taken care of. They're praying correctly. So I took my phone and I called 911. If I had not trained, taught, the woman be dead there, and the city will come here, the province will come here and shut us down. She was taken to the hospital, and within hours she was out of there. A woman that would have died right there. But the problem had already been solved before it happened. You understand what I'm talking about? So when you invest yourself in people and you pour yourself into people, what God has given to you, you are preparing them for their purpose. I help myself by helping you. Because what happens? What if something happens to me? And you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to use your faith. I'll be done. But if I've taught you right, you know exactly what to do. You know not to worry, not to fret, not. He said, Pastor didn't tell us that he's going to die today, so it's not happening. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, wherever you are, get out of here right now. We're not playing. Get out. And I'll jump back to my feet. Hallelujah. The power of God is available to every one of us. So there he is. He shaves himself. He changes his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. But he didn't come to Pharaoh gruffy with torn clothes, messed up hair. No, no. He cleaned himself up. You got to get yourself to match up with where you're going. Even though it is not as good as it should be, it must not be less than it should be. Hello? Well, you know, people used to ask me, you know, it's only this last year, this year, that I've really dressed down quite a bit. You won't catch me with jeans on. Not that jeans, anything's wrong with jeans, but I always proper. If I'm going to step out of my house, I'm going to be proper. If I'm in my house, I'm going to look proper. Hello? Because I don't know who I'm going to meet. You don't know who you're going to come across. So you've got to be ready for the eventualities. Please hear me. I know I'm talking about the tabernacle, but I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life. Being ready for whatever happens. So he's ready. He comes. And Pharaoh, having sent for him, he comes to Pharaoh. And when he comes to Pharaoh says, I hear you got the goods. And verse 15, he says to Pharaoh, Yeah. But it's not me. Verse 16. It's not me. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It is not in me. But God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He doesn't know what dream this man had that he's been disturbed by. But what does he say? God shall give an answer of peace to Pharaoh. Listen. Come. Know who you're talking to. And know how to carry yourself when you are with leaders. Don't start shooting your mouth off any which way you want. He says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Okay. All right. What's your dream? But that's the foundation of it. Whatever I'm going to say to you is going to bring you to a place of peace. Verse 17. Pharaoh says unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. 18. And behold, there came out of the river seven kind, fat fleshed and well favored, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kind came after them, poor and very ill favored, and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. These were really bad cows. And the lean and the ill favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. Now that's strange dreams when cows start eating cows. We've got issues. And when they'd eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. Nothing changed. They were still the same bad, lean-looking cows. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. Behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east winds sprung up after them. The thin ears devoured the seven good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. He just had one dream. God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. God has shown Pharaoh what God is about to do. Praise the Lord. So this was his response. In verse 25, God had showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. In verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. God is showing Pharaoh what God is about to do. In verse 32, he restates it. And for that dream, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is what? Established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. But this is the remarkable thing. He's interpreted the dream. Now what? Now see the supernatural insight. Because God wants to do this does not mean that there's nothing you can do to make things better. Take note of that statement and remember it. Because you dreamt a dream and something went wrong in the dream does not mean that that dream, even if it happens exactly the way you dreamt it, that there is no solution, another way of reversing the impact of it. Joseph understood this. And so this is what he says. Verse 33. He counsels. He's heard. He's told the Pharaoh what was going to happen. 7 good years, 7 bad years. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh, you need somebody to help you. And this person needs to be wise. You need to get someone who is discreet. In that word, discreet is a word that describes a person of deep intelligence and understanding. Somebody that's wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Next verse. Principles. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land. You need one man who's going to take charge. You need officers that are going to be administrators of the vision. Are you with me? And take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. In essence, he's saying, all the amazing things, results you're going to get during these 7 years coming, take 20% out. 20% for 7 years. In that 7 years, you'll have 140% of what you normally have. Start away. These are going to be plenteous years. In essence, these years that are coming are going to be better than any other years that you've experienced. About 7 or so years ago, the Lord gave us a word right here. I had actually forgotten about it. One of our spiritual daughters called and said, I've been listening to a message that you preach during one of these Rosh Hashanah or New Year services, and you said, we've got 7 years that are going to be good, and then it's going to hit the fan. So whatever it is that you can put together, because we're going to have 7 good years, and then rough days are coming. He said, I listened to the tape, and would you know it? Is exactly 7 years from the time you said it that we are now facing problems economically in the nations of the world. I say, huh? Well, that's a foretaste. It's a forewarning, but this is a qualifier that God has already spoken, that whatever it is going to be bad for the world is not going to be bad for us. God will keep us in spite of the issues facing the world. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't receive that into your spirit, you're going to have bad days. If you think you are part of this world system, you will enjoy the bad experiences that the rest of the world is experiencing. But once you make that shift and you say, that's not my portion, then you are in good ground. When the famine hit, Joseph was not part of it. He had all of this abundance. 35. Watch this. I hope this is not boring for you. That even though you know the story, you're learning something. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Let me back up for a moment. I know it's difficult to do when you have limited funds. But it's a wise thing to do. Honor God with your 10%, no less, and put 20% aside. Just saying. If you can practice that, you will save yourself from unnecessary situations. If you can find yourself putting 20% aside, but first of all, honor God first. Amen? Let me put it this way. If you make the decision that that's what you want to do with your finances, God will make a way to cause the 70% or 60% that you are using, He'll find a way to make 60% do what 100% will do. Would you believe that? Maybe we can make a commitment and say, well, the amount I have is $100. I'm giving the 10 to God straight up. I'm putting 20% aside. I'm left with 70. Of that 70, this other 10, that will be for whatever it is I want to do. But the 60 that is left is going to be more than enough to take care of whatever it is I need to take care of, utilities, rent, mortgage, car payments, whatever. And God, I want to reduce that so that I can actually put more on this side and be using less. Because you see, you can live, there are people who can live their life with only 1%. And they are living very well. Do you think so? Do you think Bill Gates can live with 1% and he'll be doing very well? Okay. So Bill Gates doesn't have 20 heads, right? He has only one head. Just like you and me. And he doesn't have covenant. I have covenant. Maybe things need to be better for every one of us because we draw on what we know we have already. Give me the pen. May I have your pen, please? And she has it and she gives it. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why I am where I am is because I've not believed God for more than I'm experiencing. I'm thinking God way. We have the basis right here. It's a safe 20%. And so they did. The word of God continues. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. We shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Wow. 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man on whom the Spirit of God is? Guess what Pharaoh just did? He just defined for us what a discreet man is. Because Joseph said, find a discreet man, a wise man. Pharaoh says, that man is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Question. Do I have the Spirit of God? If I do, then I have the spirit of discretion, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we don't need to look for anybody else. You're the man. 39. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. He just told us again. Somebody say with me, I declare by the authority of the word of God that I am discreet and wise. The Spirit of God is in me. Amen. Notice the next thing about this. We don't hear anything from Joseph saying, God told me that this is what you should do. But what we can gather from all of this is this, that the man who has been running Potiphar's house, who now is in prison and is running the prison, is pulling skills and has an understanding and is able to apply what he knows to the situation that was at hand. And it was all God's wisdom. Listen, there are things that you're picking up here and there. It's all good. We don't see him saying, let me go and pray and figure out what we should do. Actually, that was not his assignment. His assignment was just interpret the dream. He interpreted the dream, but he goes beyond interpreting the dream to give an answer. Where did he learn that from? He learned that from, go to Shechem. But when he gets to Shechem, his brothers are not there, and he goes further. If you are asked to go a mile, go 2 miles. Always do beyond what you are asked to do for the benefit of the person you're trying to help. It's not about you. What can I do to help you? The other day, somebody connected me with some individual and I needed to do something, and I met with them, with Brother Byron right here. And while I was talking to them, I decided to speak to them about a particular situation. They had a particular problem. I picked it up in the realm of the spirit, and I was telling them that they needed to correct this problem. I left here and I said, Lord, these people have a problem. What is the solution? I need a solution for them. They weren't asking me for any solution. I found out the solution by God giving me insight on what to do. So the next day I called the person. I said, if you have a need for this, I got a solution. That's not what they asked me for. They asked me to use the building. But I'm going beyond what they asked for to provide solutions for them concerning something else that was necessary. You know what? That's not the first time I've helped somebody that way. Guess what I need? I need somebody to help me beyond what I asked for. If I sow that, I'm going to get a harvest of that. Somebody is going to be working on my behalf, setting up things for me without me knowing about it. And guess what? That's happened to me so many times. Even today, I get a call from a ministry. How would you like to minister to do a mass crusade in this particular nation? You don't have to do anything. You know, maybe if you want to give some Bibles out, the meetings are going to be set and you're going to preach to people that have not heard about the Lord. Very few people, way out, and you're going to be in Winnipeg and you're going to preach to them over there on a big, large screen, and people are going to come to salvation, they're going to get healed, and whatever else. Are you interested? I said, don't ask me twice. Don't ask me twice. I'm here to preach. I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't even thinking about that. But somebody was busy working out details for me. And when they finished working it, said, would you like this? What I'm saying to you is this. Don't live your life just for yourself. It's not just about you. You are here for a reason. You're here to impact a life. And when you invest yourself to making sure that other people's lives get better, God makes certain that somebody will be doing something for you and making certain that things are lined up and making life easier. If you're faithful in taking care of that which is another's, God will give you yours. But you've got to be faithful. If you're not faithful and you're just about yourself and maneuvering and conniving and being cunning and whatever else, you will get wherever it is you think you're getting, but it will fall on your head and crush you. There's so many people that just mess around. They're doing this and doing that and doing this, and they have a secret agenda. And when it crushes them, they say, the devil did it. No, the devil didn't do anything. You did it. You sowed that. You invested in that. Now that it's biting, don't blame nobody. Pharaoh says, you're the man. Let me begin to wrap this up for tonight. Thou shalt be over my house, he says. This is the guy he just met. Maybe an hour ago. You're going to be over my house. And the guy just came out of jail. Guy just came out of jail. And he's been accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. And you're going to say, thou shalt be over my house? And according unto what? Read it with me. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Did you see that? My people are going to be ruled according to the words that you spoke. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. In other words, you're the man, the second man in command. In essence, therefore, whoever was second in command just went to third. This guy that just showed up is taking over. What gives him the right to be the leader of this thing? He just came and gave an answer to a problem that you that has always been there did not have. You didn't have the answer. Point. The person who solves a problem is the person that gets promoted. Or I need to be promoted because I've been here for 5 years. Yes, 5 years. You can be there for 20 years and not get promoted. You get promoted because you are a problem solver. You don't solve any problems. You don't qualify. Pastor, will you please pray for me so that I can get promoted? On the basis of what? On the basis of what? Why do you need to be promoted? Well, so I can boss people around, that's why. No, that's not why. He who wants to be master needs to learn how to be a servant. In other words, needs to know how to solve problems. You're not a problem solver. Don't expect promotion. But if you keep on solving problems, you are positioning yourself for greater heights. They may bypass you now, but the day is going to come that they cannot bypass you anymore. Create a track record of problem solving. Somebody listening. He was a problem solver. He brought solutions. He was not there just to point out the problem. He brought a solution to the problem. You know what happens so many times with people? They are so good at finding the problems without providing solutions. We don't have this. We don't have that. And why can't we do this? And this and blah, 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 all over the place. Do you have a solution? Please, do you have a solution? We all saw the problem. Now, especially now that you pointed it out, we see the problem. What's the solution? That's why people many times that come and bring problems, I always ask them, what do you think we should do about it? Don't come here telling me all kinds of problems. Now that you know what the problem is, do you have a solution? If you have a solution, that's your portfolio. Do it. Take care of it. I will never forget something that happened many years ago. This must have been actually the year 2000. We're going to have July of 2000. We're going to have a meeting here at the church, special meeting. And Sister Pat and a sister that's no longer here, Sister Sharon, came to me with a folder, a file folder, and said, "We're having this meeting, and we notice that if we're going to have this kind of a meeting, we're going to need this kind of solutions because of this kind of problems that are going to happen because of the meeting that we're going to be having." I said, "Show me what you got." And then they opened the file and said, "Well, we're going to need this. We're going to need this because this is going to happen. We're going to need this." And this, I said, excellent. Take care of it. I didn't have to go worrying my head about how am I going to solve this problem. And in your workplace, what your boss needs for you to do is become a problem solver. The boss, I see that this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. I've been thinking about it. And if you don't mind, this is what I'm thinking we can do to solve this problem. Okay, what about this? Because every time you present a solution, the solution creates another problem. Hello? Huh? Every time you create a solution, it creates another problem. He created a solution, he said a solution. The solution was, let's get 20% of all the grain. But guess what? With all 20% of all the grain, that means you're going to have storage problems. That means you're going to have to build barns. Scout out the land and see what needs to be done. And guess what the man does? Guess what the man does? Oh! That's exactly what he does. Joseph goes around the whole land. He scans the whole land. He keeps on going and he's figuring out how things need to happen. That's what you and I need to do. We're talking about, let's say for example, tomorrow. The church grows by 1,000%. Do you think that is going to create a problem? Mega problems. And the problems are so big. Any kind of growth is going to create problems. People say, oh, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow. We want more people to come to church. And guess what? Not everybody that comes to church is going to come the way you think they should come. When they start coming, we want revival. You know what revival means? More toilet paper. That's what revival means. Bigger water bills. That's what revival means. So when you're talking about revival, you have to have people who are working all of those fine details. Capish? So while you're praying, God, we want this, we want this, find yourself in a particular position on what you are going to do. God, anoint me to be the toilet paper collector. And God will anoint you to do it. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, solutions create problems. That's the way it is. And when you focus your attention in becoming an answer, recognize that becoming an answer means that more questions are going to be asked of you. Hello? But the amazing thing about it is this, that God who promotes you will also strengthen you to accomplish the vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me do this real quickly. I'll go through some verses real quickly and then we'll call it a day for today, and then we'll take it up next day, tomorrow. 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring. Pharaoh did what? Took off his ring. He took off a ring that was in his hand. That's the ring of number one. And he puts it in Joseph's hand. Now, wherever Joseph went, the authority of number one was on him. He's number two, but he's really functioning as number one. Get it? And guess what? I like this. His father put a coat on him. They took the coat and ripped it apart, stuck it in blood, and they concluded that he's dead and whatever else. Potiphar's wife comes, grabs his coat. But this is a coat that nobody's going to tamper with, because the Bible says, and arrayed him in vestures, not just one coat now. He's got a wardrobe. He's got a wardrobe of fine linen. And put a gold chain about his neck. He used to be part of the chain gang. Now he's got gold chain. Whatever it is that was part of his history is being transformed now. What used to be bad is now becoming good. That's how it's going to be for you, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's gold chain. Everybody knows it. Huh. I wonder what's happening to Potiphar's wife when she hears this news. Ah. 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. See, the second chariot which he had doesn't mean that it wasn't the number one chariot. It just means that you can only ride on one chariot at a time. And he had a second one, a spare one. And he gives him that one. And he cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. In other words, the kind of respect, please hear this, the kind of respect that Pharaoh received was the kind of respect that Joseph had, because nobody was bowing down to number two before Joseph came around. Now they're bowing down to Joseph. 44. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee, And without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. I am Pharaoh, but without you, nobody does anything here. In other words, I'm just a figurehead. You are really the boss. Is somebody listening? You're the real boss. I'm just a figurehead from now on. The guy just showed up an hour ago. Or let's stretch it, 3 hours ago. Really think? No. He's been on this journey from when he was 17 years old. This isn't just happening. It's just been manifested now. But it's always been that way. I say, let there be a manifestation in Jesus' mighty name. I'll stop in verse 45, because in verse 45, he's given a name. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. Zaphnath-Paneah. Means treasury of a glorious rest. That's a prophetic statement. A treasury of a glorious rest. And that's what God is calling every one of us to. A glorious rest. The name that is given by Pharaoh captures the essence of who he is. His name, Joseph, just means Jehovah has added. Or Jehovah will add. Because when the mother gave birth to him, and this was her first child, she was prophesying, this is not going to be the last one. This is not going to be the last one. God will add to me. And so God did give to him Benjamin, give to her Benjamin. That was the last born. Child of God, hear this. God has a rest, and he wants you and I to be the manifestation of that rest. Joseph, a treasury of glorious rest, was going to bring rest to Egypt and to the world. May God honor your life with his fullness and cause you to be what he has ordained even before the foundations of the earth, for you to be, for me to be, for us to be, a people who are in the rest of God. And may out of your innermost being flow life that causes many to come to a place where they rest in the very peace of God, which passes all understanding. For in this place shall God give his peace and his prosperity. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Lord, manifest your word in every son and every daughter today. Let everyone here experience you in a dimension that cannot be explained by man. God, you are the God who can elevate, move what needs to be moved out of the way, and place your people in positions of supernatural honor. So let it be. So let it be now. So let it be made manifest. For your word has been spoken, and glory is revealed in every one of us this day, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll stop there. We'll continue with the life of Joseph tomorrow. There are lessons to learn that impact every area of our lives. I might not complete the whole story about Joseph, but we'll learn what we need to learn for now. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, you need to position yourself, every one of us, position ourselves for where we want to be. Yesterday, the Lord brought me to something that I'd not seen before. And as I was looking at my screen, and I'm seeing these different things, things that had not come into my mind before, I didn't even think existed. At another level, I said to the Lord, I said, I don't know how I stumbled to this information, but what are you trying to say to me? And he said to me, I don't show you things just to show you things. I see this for you. I say, wow, Lord, how shall these things be? Because, you know, God can show you some things that will shock you. It will shake your equilibrium. Just shake you and say, I don't know, how can this be? How can this be? You mean the people are living like this? And God says, I see that for you. And I looked at where I was. And I said to myself, this is going to be a major shift. You know what else I heard from the Lord that very moment? He said, learn more. Start talking like this. Start talking in this level. Oh, that means I have to learn some things. And today I was thinking about a brother that, you know, used to be close to welfare. Just above welfare. Just because he had a job. And today is making some good money. And I started thinking about his life from when I knew him to where he is now. And I noticed something. He carries himself differently. And I wondered, where did he learn how to act like that? The level that God takes you to changes you. You change. There are people here today. Your life is about to take a major change. And your language is going to change. Now, people are going to say that you're being arrogant, but no, it's where you've come to. There is a way you carry yourself that is different because of the location and the sphere that God is pulling you to. There's a class. Whether you like it or not, there's classes. The only thing is, whatever your class is, know where you came from and don't forget who and what you left behind. Hello? But you are going to change. I want you to know that. The Lord is quickening that in my spirit, and I'm speaking to you prophetically. You are going to change. There are things about to change in your life, and don't let anybody drag you to where you used to be. Know where you used to be. Be very clear about it, but know that you're in a different class. The way you drive an expensive Lamborghini or, let me put it this way, the way you drive, let's use Mercedes-Benz. The way you drive a Mercedes-Benz that costs you $500,000 for a vehicle is not the way you're going to drive a Mercedes-Benz that costs you $100,000. They're two different vehicles. Same name, two different vehicles. It may look the same from the outside, but they are two different vehicles. And God is about to do something extraordinary with your life that's going to change how you walk, how you talk, how you move. But don't forget that it is the doing of the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. If you don't change, people say things like, he's not acting presidential. He's not acting like a princess. If you're going to be a princess, be a princess. You qualify. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Lord, do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. May we, O God, as we experience the elevation of grace, not forget that we started from a low level and learn how to bring those, oh God, that were way down there up to where we are going. Father, may not one person here forget that you are the God who elevates. But may we never compromise the integrity of the place that you place us. May we learn. May we grow. May we prosper. May we flourish under the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And may we give like people in a different dimension. In the mighty name of Jesus, I call this so done by the word of faith. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord.